hear these words from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with the 13th verse. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Good morning, Foundry. Good morning. It is such a joy and a blessing to be here with you today and to share this time, this last Sunday of July 2018 with you. I must say, I do not feel like a visitor to Foundry. As Pastor Ginger shared, my journey with Foundry is bigger than simply the scholar in resident for Foundry 2018. It has really been a joy and a blessing to be in fellowship and partnership with Foundry. I could not have dreamed you up. Journey is full of so many surprises when we journey with God. And I did not see Foundry in my future when I came to DC, but I am so grateful that we found each other. And so thank you so much for making this a space that has received me and my many vocational faces and family and has journeyed with me. I take that very seriously. In fact, I've taken it so seriously that these books that will be coming out have your name in them, so you must buy them. In the acknowledgments, I have put pen to paper to affirm how important this space has been and continues to be. And I hope that you know, even as I continue to go forth in my vocation, you always have a biblical scholar you can call on. Amen? Amen. Now, with all of that said, I am most comfortable going straight to the biblical text. Shocker. So will you go with me there? And I know that the text was read today, but I actually want to reread it from a different translation, which may be another shocker to some of my students who would be might be surprised to find out that I actually want to reread the text from the Message translation. There is a reason for this. I believe in the power of images, of getting an image, pictures of what the word is saying. And I think the Message translation here in Hebrews 11, actually starting with verse 10 through 16, offers us some beautiful word pictures of how to imagine and to think about this passage. Will you hear these words, my sisters and brothers? Starting at verse 10. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what God said. That's how it happened. That from one man's dead and shriveled loins, descendants were born as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients and temporary in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. if they were homesick for the old country. They could have gone back at any time, but they were after a far better country than that, a heavenly country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. My focus verse is really verse 13. All of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients or temporary in this world. My question today to Foundry is simple. What do you see from a distance? Pray with me, my sisters and brothers. Lord God, shaper of all things, like the writer of Hebrews, we come to you recognizing that we need your endurance to see what is possible, not just in the present moment, but also off in the distance. Open our eyes to see your power today, and open our ears to hear what you are saying to us. Use your human vessel today. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What do you see from a distance? In August of last year, 2017, North America experienced its first total eclipse since 1979. In addition to the sheer time gap since the last total eclipse, people watched the eclipse for a host of other reasons. According to one source, some people watched because they were following the hype of the crowd, participating in the event because, hey, all of the office is emptying out to see the eclipse, and I get to take a break too. Why not? Others watched the eclipse not just for that fleeting moment, but for all the moments leading up to it. It was the moments of connecting with strangers and distant associates to travel to some of the out-of-way, remote places to be a part of the swelling thousands of people gathered to be in what became known as, quote, the path of totality. But one of my favorite reasons was posted actually on the TED.com ideas page. Here, we could find the astrophysicist listing 5.5 reasons why you shouldn't miss the solar eclipse. And quote, they said, you get a fleeting chance to see the unseen. That day, the shadow of the moon fell briefly across the land, from Oregon in the west to South Carolina in the east. The New York Times reported the world appeared to hush for a few minutes as the moon stood up to the sun, perfectly blocking its fierce light. Darkness descended. The summer air caught a quick chill. Venus and some stars appeared in the night sky, and humans were left to hunt for words to describe the spectacle and the manifestation. A spectacle, a manifestation, it was indeed. Millions of people stopped to watch what was probably the most viewed and most photographed eclipse in all of history. From a distance, millions marveled and bore witness to the most important eclipse ever calculated. They bore witness to a phenomenon they could not control. They could not stop. They could not interrupt. They could not postpone. And no, they could not repeal, sabotage, or delay. Sounds like the hand of God to me. This morning, we turn perhaps to one of the most well-known chapters in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In chapter 11, we find what is lovingly called the Hall of Faith. We find ourselves in the midst of yet another massive spectator and manifestation event. However, this manifestation event is not about gazing at a flaming star of gases at the center of our celestial universe. This event at the center of Hebrews 11 is not about the spectacle in which the moon covers in totality the star we call the sun. And this event, sitting as the focal point of today's passage, is not about worshiping a ball of fire that burns at 27 million degrees at its core. You see, Hebrews 11 tells us what stargazing for Christians and believers of God is all about. According to the book of Hebrews, stargazing is about the parade of faithful witnesses who worship the true and living God, even when it seems that God is most distant. The spectacle of faith are those of us foolish enough to think there is something off in the distance worth looking for, worth working for, worth fighting for, worth speaking for, worth writing for, worth dancing for, worth creating for. There is something off in the distance worth putting my energies and my focus and my belief in. Can you see God off in the distance? I love the saying by the black feminist American writer and poet Audre Lorde when she says, "When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of vision, then it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid." The spectacle of faith are those who gather to activate and engage the horizons for change. Afraid or not afraid, spectacles of faith are horizon activists, horizon change agents, horizon proclaimers. We do not get stuck in the now. We are people who look and work for the horizons that can unfold before us because we know that God is not only here, but God is there. According to Hebrews, there are two ways we see things at a distance in faith and work with these horizons. The first is sight that perceives what has passed. Hebrews 10:32 says it this way. Now recall those earlier days. It is vision that recalls what God has done prior to our own lives. This is a kind of memory that requires retrieval of something that lies behind us. The spiritual posture of seeing from a distance, a past that we also must retrieve, actually harkens back to African notions called Sankofa. Sankofa. It is an African idea born out of indigenous African traditions and peoples like the Akan. And the word literally means fetching what is at risk of being left behind by our people, by our communities, by our society, by our children, by our faith. Sankofa, fetching what is at risk of being left behind. There is much at risk of being left behind. Anytime you have sound bites that can say things like, "I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul." Lullabies and sound bites that say, "It is the power of me and the power of now," as if there are no histories to talk about and reckon with, as if other people haven't come before you to set you up for what you have or don't have. Sankofa says to fetch that which is at risk of being left behind. All of these enticing sound bites leave us groundless, not holding on, not remembering, not being taught by the histories and the traditions that lie behind us. Sankofa is such an important idea that, in fact, there is an image that goes with it. It is called the Sankofa bird. The Sankofa bird looks very particular. The Sankofa bird is always facing forward. The feet and the body are facing forward, but the head and the neck of the Sankofa bird are always looking backwards. Sometimes it's this direction, sometimes it's curved back. That's how you always know you're dealing with the mythical image of Sankofa. And that's very important because the image of the Sankofa bird is supposed to remind us that as we proceed forward in our march and journey of life, we also must remain attached to the memories and stories that are our own traditions and families and societies. For some of us, fetching stories of our past is about retrieving the strength exercised in the face of hate. It is about retrieving the dignity of what it means to be human when we are told we are inhuman. It is about recalling stories that we hear at the kitchen table and at bedtime, stories that remind us that we are made in the image of God and that we are a part of God's plan. It's about fetching the deep conviction that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. Jesus loves the little children of the world. For others of us, retrieving those stories may be more painful. The past stories and traditions that we remember around the table may have been pejorative jokes and stories, may have been prejudiced innuendos, may have been the use and misuse and abuse of certain bodies, the erasure of certain identities, and yet we are called to retrieve even those stories, not to relive them and to do them again, but to remember what we are called not to do, not to be, but to remember the danger and the rupture of some of the stories that lie behind us, not to erase and pretend they don't exist, but to bring them along to hold us accountable to do better, to be better, to embrace God who is on the horizons, open, asking for better. In addition to turning our heads to retrieve the faith that is behind us, whether it is to fetch the stories and sayings that encourage us in well-doing and in our own bodies as people made in the image of God, or whether we fetch those stories to warn us off from prejudice, from bias, from hatred. In addition to turning our heads to fetch what is in danger of being left behind, the second way Hebrews asks us to see things from a distance, is by turning our heads forward and greeting the promises that we see far off in the distance. Now, I'm going to ask you to participate with me in the same way that I did with the 9 a.m. group now. I need you to help me greet some promises that we see far off in a distance. Can this side stand up? Turn your bodies and face this side. And how about you smile and wave at the faces that you see on that side? And how about you turn to those in the balcony? Your whole bodies, smile and wave. Greet your brothers and sisters we see off in the distance. And I won't forget the choir this time. We will turn and we will come back and we will greet and wave to the choir. Amen. You may be seated. You're not off the hook. Will this side stand up? Turn your bodies to your brothers and sisters, the promises of God, and wave and smile. Let us not forget our brothers and sisters in the balcony. Turn your bodies, smile and wave at the promises. And then we are going to come back to you, choir, and we are going to greet you and wave at you. Amen. Do you guys want to rise and greet the congregation? You just have one direction to go. So you can greet everybody. Well, hello. Amen. What does it mean that Hebrews calls us to stand and wave and greet the promises of God. Promises of pursuit, promises of embrace, promises of persistence, promises of life, promises of imagination and opportunity. It is a kind of memory blended with expectation. This is the kind of faith. This memory blended with expectation and imagination. This is the faith that the woman with the issue of blood exercised when she stretched out her hand and said, "But if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole." No one else had concocted such a crazy plan than to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And yet here we go, faith blended with expectation, imagination, the stories of the past that there is a savior and healer in the world that was able to grab hold of her wholeness and the wholeness of her community. This is the kind of memory with imagination that compelled people like Shirley Chisholm to say, "We don't make progress by standing on the sidelines, whimpering and complaining. We make progress by implementing ideas." It is those Sankofa ideas, ideas blended with memory, ideas blended with imagination, ideas blended with the faith in a God who is bigger than all of our senses that can shift the entire landscape of the horizons of the world. I realize that seeing from a distance may be hard right now. The rhetoric of our present day echoes back to a time when some of our ancestors had to survive chattel slavery, Jim Crow, sexism in the workplace and misogyny at home, cultures of lynching, cultures of homophobic violence, cultures of child exploitation and labor, and on and on and on. For some of us, it is difficult to come to terms with the truth that those sentiments are not yet dead in this land, in our communities, in our families, among our friends, and yes, among the church. It raises questions about whether Christianity is relevant to speaking against the prejudicial and unjust practices, systems, leaders, and violence, or is it just a tool used to create the problems and the division and the hierarchies to begin with? There is an answer. The short answer is that some Christian visions of the horizon fail to work from the image that sits at the core of our faith. Some Christian visions of horizon fail to recall the concrete realities of the suffering death of Jesus on the cross, at the hands of human evil, at the hands of human attack, at the hands of human prejudice, and at the hands of violence and corrupt political leaders. Some so-called Christian visions fail to recognize that the Savior of the world, at the center of our Christian proclamation, was not a king in his lifetime. He was an immigrant. Some so-called Christian messages fail to realize Jesus wasn't a free person of the empire. He was a refugee fleeing the empire's threat of death on his life, even as a child, because after all, that empire was already serving out the threat of separating baby Jesus from his parents in order to destroy both of them. Some Christian proclamations fail to reckon with the fact that the land of Jesus' birth did not protect him, but sought to kill him. Some Christian proclamations fail to realize Jesus was not a friend of the most elite and politically powerful of his day. He was an antagonist so much so that those same people, those same systems, those same powerful resources sought political attack strategy, and ultimately mandated and got away with state mandated execution. Our faith identity and practices should make a demand on us to tell the truth of our faith story. It should make a demand on us to retrieve that which is most difficult, that which is most hopeful, that which is most challenging, that which can give us and those we know and don't know life, because God is standing on the horizon. Hear the good news of Jesus Christ this morning, as seen in the memory exercised in Hebrews 11 and in our remembering of the African philosophy of Sankofa. Even when we do not get it all the way right and the journey does not go the way we planned, we can yet act and make bold and courageous difference in this world. What do you see from a distance? And what can you fetch, Foundry? Can you fetch the wisdom and strength of people like Deborah in Judges 4, who commanded the troops on whether to go and fight or stay and wait? By faith, we should fetch the work of the prophet Deborah from the past and see those prophetic judgments playing out even today in the bodies of people such as women of color like Michelle Obama, when faced with hate, faced with conflict, faced with lies and attacks, she stands and says, when they go low, we go high. What do you see from a distance, and what can you bring back, Foundry? Can you fetch the voice of Miriam when she sings, sing to the Lord, for God has triumphed gloriously? By faith, I hear the voice of Miriam from the past in voices like the Fisk Jubilee Singers as they sing the spiritual rise, shine, for their light, for thy light is a coming. Just as I hear the songs of a liberation movement and protest in the artistic works of people like Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce when they sing freedom, when people who live by faith and the action is laid out by Hebrews 11 and Sankofa speak from a distance. I tell you, I hear the words of poets and writers like Zora Neale Hurston, who declares their eyes were watching God. Just as I hear the poetic words of someone like Indosaki Shange when she says, I found God in myself and I loved her. I loved her fiercely. What do you see from a distance, from the horizons? I hear the words of Ida B. Wells sitting at the intersection of race, violence, sexism, poverty, and freedom at the close of the 19th century, saying, the way to right wrongs is to turn light of truth upon them. At the same time that I hear, 70 to 80 years later, Fannie Lou Hamer standing saying, sometimes it seems like to tell the truth today is to run the risk of being killed. But if I fall, I will fall 5 feet 4 inches forward in the fight for God's freedom, because I am not backing off. I must ask, Foundry, what do you see from a distance? Do you see anything on the horizon that compels you to take a stand like Sister Hamer and say, we are not backing off? When I think about the good news of Jesus Christ as embodied in the biblical tradition of Hebrews 11 and the African traditions of Sankofa, I see people who can collaborate across differences. I see people who have lost much but fight for more. I see people who speak truth and light to a world full of falsehoods and darkness. I see people who speak life to death, hope to sorrow, vision to blindness, resolve to indecisiveness, and fearlessness to those who are frightened. When I think about the good news of Jesus Christ as embodied in Hebrews 11 and in Sankofa, I think about what it means to hear people calling the apostles and the unbelievers, calling the families and their strangers, calling the activists and the complacent, saying, get up, Christ is alive. God has need of us, and she is calling us to speak for justice. She is calling us to to speak truth to alternative facts. She is calling us to stand for what is right, even those who may be divested of power and resources. She is calling us to look to the horizon. She is calling us to reclaim our time. When I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ and what God is calling us to be, I hear Christ making a demand on us to get up and greet my promises. Don't believe the lies. I am calling my people out of darkness into light.